You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to Tuesday's Racing Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellner joined by Craig Forsyth on this edition of the Racing Podcast. We're going to take a look at the Monday jury, as we always do on a Monday, and we'll get Craig's tips for four of the feature races on Monday afternoon and evening as well. A couple from Musselburgh and a couple from Nottingham. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you doing, sir?
Hello. Yeah, I'm very good, Dave, thanks. And how are you?
Very well. I enjoyed the Open Championship. I got sunburned yesterday. I'm feeling the effects today, but I'm battling through.
Good man.
No after sun. I didn't apply any after sun, Craig. And I've been feeling a little bit on the sick side. Slightly lame, I think, over the last 24 hours.
Not so good, Dave. I've actually just took some precaution and just been out to Boots to buy some Factor 50 for the top of the dome for the for the golf tomorrow in preparation for the hot weather that's forecast. So you know what that means, Dave. It's going to rain.
Yeah, well, exactly. You need the sun lotion and the umbrella handy at the same time, don't you, in this country?
I need a lot more than that when I'm on the golf course, Dave.
Hopefully you won't break any clubs. Like, fingers crossed.
I was thinking more greenhouse windows.
Let's get stuck in then. We always do the Monday jury on a Monday and go through the Racing Post questions. They've got Martin Dwyer, Thomas Brown, James Given, Paul Mulrennan and Richard Wilmot on their panel. We've got Craig Forsyth on our panel. And Craig, the first question is, what did you make to the Irish Oaks, the performance from Seventh Heaven in winning the Irish Oaks?
Yeah, I think the best horse on the day definitely won, Dave. Obviously, the biggest disappointment in the race was the performance of Even Song. You know, she looked the part when she won at Royal Ascot. She was well touted before that race. And the way she went about her business, you know, she looked the only horse in the classic age group that could throw down a serious charge to Minding. But unfortunately, it was a bit of disappointment with her performance. But Seventh Heaven, you know, was a good winner. The time of the race was fairly decent compared to the other two races, although of a much lower standard run over the same course and distance on the card. So, yeah, in Seventh Heaven had shown a fair level of form earlier in the season. So don't think there was any fluke about the performance and was a good winner of the race. But obviously a big disappointment with the performance of Even Song.
The next question is difficult. The next question is, do you think Mecca's Angel will successfully defend her crown in the Nunthorpe? We've got no idea, have we, because of the ground dependency this horse has. If the ground is soft, she might. If the ground is quick, she might not even take part.
I don't think the ground will be either, to be honest. And to be honest, Dave, you've seen her performance at the Curragh on Saturday. And she, you know, the time she clocked, she was just under standard. So, you know, conditions bordering on good.
All right, okay.
And a little bit on the fast side, possibly, at the Curragh with her performance. So, you know, I think good ground is her optimum conditions. I don't think she wants it too soft.
Right, okay.
And obviously she definitely doesn't want it too quick. But she clocked a sensational time. Best time on the day, furlong for furlong at the Curragh. It was great to see her back. And I have to say, you know, providing that we don't get too heavy or it doesn't get too fast, then she looks the one they all have to beat and has every chance to defend the crown. Obviously, I think the biggest dangers are going to be the two-year-olds, but we got four or five entered at this stage. We've got the Coventry Stakes winner that I think's unlikely to run, and we've got Wesley Ward's two-year-old filly that was very impressive at Royal Ascot. Obviously, they get all the weight for age allowances, so that would certainly make her interesting if any of those was to line up on the day.
Yeah, we've got Profitable as the favourite at 5-2 here with William Hill. Caravaggio still in at 4-1. Mecca's Angels there at 4-1. Acapulco, the Wesley Ward runner, is 7-1. Prince of Leah is 8-1 and it's 10-1 bar currently.
Yeah, profitable, I think, you know, 5-2. Travelled really well again in the July Cup at Newmarket, Dave. Didn't really see out the sixth furlong. You know, I think he's an out-and-out five furlong hustle, as yep. he proved in the King Stand at Royal Ascot. Whether he should be 5-2 at this stage, you know, I think he's the right favourite, but I think 5-2 is a little bit too short for him, to be honest. And Mecca's Angel goes there with every chance.
I'm surprised you say that about the ground with Mecca's Angel, though, because most of her best performances in her career have come with digging the ground.
They have, yeah, but...
Do you think she's aging, she's getting used to good ground, or...?
Every time Michael Dodds has been interviewed and asked, you know, he's clearly said, you know, they're obviously running her and she's producing the performances on soft ground, but ideally, good ground is what she wants.
Okay.
And we've seen that at the Curragh at the weekend, where she produced a really good performance. I just don't think she wants the extremes. She doesn't want it too soft, and she doesn't want it too quick. You know, good soft is perfect conditions for her. And she's, you know, as she proved when she won the Nunthorpe last year, she's a tough nut to crack.
Which horses have taken your eye in the last few days in Britain? I was in the studio presenting the programme Racing Radio on Friday afternoon, so I got to see a couple of really decent performances, and one that's been pinpointed in the Racing Post as well, Macaris,
yeah,
who looked fantastic in that listed race at Newbury, and a horse that could go on to greater things in the not too distant future, in all honesty.
Yeah, definitely, Dave. I mean, I'm going to put two up, but I'm going to stretch that few days to 8 days.
Okay.
If that's okay.
That's fine.
Macaris,
I've just about got enough fingers.
Macaris obviously has to be the first horse. You know, he made his debut. He was well touted at Haydock and he produced a really good performance that day. And I believe he was well fancied on the back of that going into the Coventry Stakes.
Yes.
But conditions completely turned against the horse. David turned up soft for the first day's action at Royal Ascot, and he didn't run his race. He is still, you know, quite buzzy. You can see in the early part of his race, he still does quite a bit, you know, taking a hold, and he just didn't handle the soft conditions at Ascot. But it was great to see him, you know, back on track on under faster conditions at the weekend. He goes for the gym crack at York now, and providing he gets his ground, he's going to take a little bit of beating in that, Dave, but there's a horse he could be meeting there that could prove to be his biggest danger. He has got a gym crack entry. We go back to Newmarket last Saturday.
Yes.
And the Superlative Stakes winner, trained by Charlie Appleby, Boynton, really impressed with his horse of Godolphin's. He beat War Decree of Aidan O'Brien's, who was backed from 4-1 into even money.
I think that's huge with regards to Boynton as well, because when they fancy one like that and it gets backed to such an extent, you think defeat is out of the question, and then Boynton comes and beats him. I was really taken by that performance as well. I liked the way Boynton quickened when the two came close together.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, then you look back to the third, Dave, who was another five lengths back, and the front two, very, very useful performers. I mean, if I'm allowed three on the list, War Degree would obviously be the third one, but Boynton, that was seven furlongs of the race, Dave, and the gym crack is six. And, you know, as you said, that the way he stayed on, he looks like, you know, he's seen seven out really well. Whether they come back to six for the gym crack, I don't know, but wherever he goes, he's certainly a horse worth following.
Next question. Should we just hand the King George crown to Postponed? Postponed is the odds-on favourite here with William Hill for Saturday's King George. Is in the betting currently at 1-2 here with William Hill. Dartmouth is 11-2. Highland Reel is 6-1. Erupt and Wings of Desire, both 9-1. 20-1 bar. Dartmouth has been supplemented this morning. You're looking at me quizzically across the studio.
I presume the Great Gatsby hasn't been entered.
That's correct. Oh, 10, right. 10 left in.
Yeah, then basically we should just hand it to...
Yeah, do you think so? Yeah, you think it's done?
I mean, I was just having a quick look at the race, Dave, and I always had the early entries. Obviously, we're now down to the five-day stage.
Yeah, so we've got 10 left in the race.
We've got 10 left in the race. I just thought the Great Gatsby, back on quicker ground, was the only one really that could have given him a race.
Do you think Dartmouth's got to improve then?
He definitely needs to improve a lot. I mean, Postbond's in, he's in a different league, Postbond.
Yeah.
Compared to Dartmouth. Obviously, that, you know, the Sir Michael Stout horse is open to a little bit of improvement, but what's he going to need to improve? A stone, Dave, to get on to the same level as Postbond? So, I mean, I can actually see the 1-2 shortening as the week progresses as well.
Let's forget about it. Take it. Take it now. And we make sure you tune in, though, for that one on Saturday, listeners. It's not a vintage renewal, is it, by any stretch of the imagination?
Yeah, he's probably frightened a few horses away, hasn't he? The likes of the Grey Gadsby that was entered, but not being declared at the 5-day stage, you know, they're maybe now looking at other targets away from Ascot because of Postbond's presence.
Yeah, possibly so. On the other side of the spectrum, it's big prices in the international, as it always is, the international handicap. Was there any thing standing out in that contest?
Obviously, we've got a host of entries at the moment, Dave. It's a very difficult race, but there's a 3-year-old of Richard Hannon's that could pay to look closely at Tabarrak. I think he's the ideal type for this type of race because he's got a very high cruising speed. And, you know, since he stepped back up to 7 furlongs, he's looked the part. He got on top last time, and if he can build on that, he could go well off a mark of 105. So, you know, 5-day stage, he's the one that at the moment is looks interesting, certainly, but no doubt come the day there'll be a whole host of interesting runners. It will be a competitive maximum field handicap.
And finally, there has been hot debate over how racing is covered on TV in recent days. What's your view?
Well, David, I only really watch the races live. I don't really take a huge, great deal of interest in what's on before and really what's on after the races. The only thing that, you know, I would say that we don't see enough of is paddock shots of the horses in pre-race. Sometimes the handover is very, very late and the horses are down at the start. I mean, that's the only thing, you know, I would look to change and like to see a difference in that we see some better paddock shots of the horses. But understandably, when you have a Saturday and you've got one station covering 5 meetings, it's very, very difficult to include all that. So, but yeah, that's just the one thing I would like to see improve.
Very good. Thank you, Craig. Let's get your tips then for Tuesday's racing action. You've done that 4 races for us, a couple at Musselburgh and a couple at Nottingham. Starting off with the 3:15 at Musselburgh. This is a handicap, 12 runners over 5 furlongs here, Mr. Forsyth. And it might be quite competitive as far as the betting is concerned. Pea Shooter, Bathsheba, Starcracker, all likely to be up towards the head of the betting.
Yeah, 3 last-time-out winners there, Dave, that you mentioned. Bathsheba, he's a grand servant of Nigel Tinkler's. He got his head back in front at Windsor last time. He's only gone up £2 for that. He's well drawn in stall 11. You know, he's one to include on the shortlist. Pea Shooter hasn't been with Brian Ellison all that long, Pea Shooter, and got his head back in front at Weatherby. Just wonder if he will find this track, you know, it's a sharp 5 furlongs on real quick ground, whether that might just all happen a little bit too quickly for him, Dave. And Starcracker takes a big step up in class. I would be concerned. You know, he was a good winner at just over a week ago, but this is a big step up in class on different ground. So I wouldn't be so warm on the chances of Starcracker. But Jim Goldie could well have the winner of this race. His veteran here, Go Go Green, a horse that really needs a good pace and definitely needs a little bit of luck in running, because he will be held up in the early stages under Joe Doyle. And when you look at this race, there's 3 or 4 horses that like to go forward. The likes of Chucky's Lass as a front runner. Economic Crisis goes forward. Starcracker went forward when making All Air. And Lydia's Place, another strong front runner. So we should see a flat out 5 furlongs here. Yeah. Obviously, that will bring Pea Shooter into play as well late in the day. But Go Go Green, reasonably well handicapped. And provided we get a little bit of luck in running, then I think he can get his head back in front.
2-mile handicap next, the 4:45 at Musselburgh, and 7 runners declared to take their chance here. Always Resolute is likely to head the betting. 3 wins from his last 4 performances, Always Resolute is up again in the handicap, but Ben Robinson has been booked by Brian Ellison to claim that £7, maybe to alleviate some of that that penalty. It's just whether or not Ben Robinson is worth that claim, I suppose, Craig. That's something you've got to balance up with them looking to offset the penalty.
Indeed, but he's already ridden his horse to victory at Ripon earlier in the season, Dave. So I think that, you know, bears well for the chances of Always Resolute. He's gone up £5, as you said, for the Chester victory. He improved over the winter, over hurdles, and when he returned to the flat, he was a well-handicapped horse on 64. You know, he's only a stone higher now, and Ben Robinson takes 7 of that away. So, for me, he still remains relatively well-treated, Always Resolute. He's got experience of the track. He finished 4th in a really good novice hurdle here over the winter. I think it was trials day. He was a well-backed favourite. I think he went off our second favourite on that occasion. And I see him slotting in here under Ben Robinson, just in behind the likely pace setter, Roc de Prince, a horse that was gifted a really easy lead at Ayr last weekend and made all simply because it got the complete run of the race, Dave. And, you know, they handed it to Clifford Lee on that occasion. I don't think Ben Robinson will be too far behind this Roc de Prince in the early stages here. And I think he's the one that will probably come home the stronger of the two and still progressing on the level.
Superb. Thank you, Craig. Let's move to Nottingham. A couple of races at Nottingham to look at very quickly. The 7.10 at Nottingham is a handicap over 6 furlongs. Dharma is the one that stood out to me. Josephine Gordon taking the ride, and she's having a terrific season. Looks fantastic in the saddle every time I see her riding, Craig. And Dharma, I think, will maybe go favourite for this contest.
I think she probably will, Dave, but the form of that Nottingham victory hasn't worked out. The horses that have ran in behind have, you know, performed poorly on their subsequent starts, and the going was described as good to form firm, but when I watched that race back again, you know, there's plenty of divots coming up, and the time is okay, but, you know, I think conditions will certainly be riding much faster at Nottingham on Tuesday night than they were when this horse last won 48 days ago. You know, for a fact that a sprinter's been off that long as well suggests that there may have been an issue or two since that victory. And like I said, the race isn't really working out. But I went through this race, Dave, time and time again. And of the four, I spent more time on this race than any of the others. And I still haven't really got a selection for it.
Okay.
I just kept crossing everyone out. Yeah. It was that type of race. And, you know, the one I'm going to put forward is Magical Effect for Ruth Carr. This horse was given a fair bit to do last time at Nottingham, travelled well, was held up out the back at Warsoft Ground, and conceded first run to Giant Spark, who is a grand big sort. He's a horse that should go on progressing in sprints. And Magical Effect was doing all his best work at the finish, and he was given a hands and heels ride by James Sullivan on that occasion. I think, you know, he's a horse that hasn't stood a lot of racing, and I think they may have been bringing him along to bringing him to the boil, hopefully, and reaching his peak here at Nottingham on Tuesday night. And off a £1 higher mark, I would like to see him ridden a little bit more prominently in the race, closer to the pace, and he's the one I'd put forward. But it's a very, very difficult race, and, you know, question marks hanging over a lot of the runners here.
And finally, the 7.40, Craig, Shamahart has been in very consistent form, a winner 4 starts ago, and has gone close on his last couple of outings as well, Shamahart.
He does, Dave, but I thought he gained, you know, cheap ground at the finish of the Beverly race last Monday. He's a horse that relies on an end-to-end gallop. He really needs him to go flat out in the early part, and he comes home strongly. And the only real front runner I can see in the lineup is Mr. Red Clubs, and he doesn't always go forward.
Okay.
So this could be a tactical affair, Dave, which would definitely be against Shamahart. But as you say, rightly, he's clearly in very, very good heart at the moment. But I just don't think this race will be run to suit him.
So not Shamahart. If it is tactical, which horse benefits?
I think Dutch Artist is definitely the best of these. Although he runs in a 0-80 again, as he did at Beverly last time, I think this is a much easier contest than the one he faced last time. He had progressive horses that finished in front of him on that occasion. The form of his maiden win at Catrick has worked out reasonably well. The Sir Michael Stout horse that finished second is a subsequent winner. The third horse of Tim Easterby's Just His did everything but win at Haydock on Friday. And the front three were a mile clear on that occasion at Catterick. Things haven't really panned out as well as expected since then, but this is a marked drop in grade for Dutch Artist, and I would fully expect him to win this event off a mark of 78.
Very good. A Dutch Artist to take the 740 at Nottingham. Craig, thank you for your company.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, let's hope we have a winner or two in there.
Or three, even.
Yeah, that would
That'd
be lovely.
Be nice,
that would be
it?
Lovely.
Join us tomorrow for all the racing action on William Hill Racing Radio. If you are listening to this podcast on Monday, it's Luke Elder, Kevin O'Malley and Mick Norton with you for all the racing action on Tuesday. Thank you for listening and tuning into this racing podcast. You can follow myself and Craig on Twitter, at D. Kellner and at Border Artist. And enjoy your betting on Tuesday here with William Hill. Make sure you check out Craig's selections. Those races should be priced up. If they're not priced up already, should be priced up shortly. So check out the betting at williamhill.com. And thank you once again for listening to Tuesday's Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.